Great job. Great job, Tim. That gives me my pleasure to introduce you this morning. Our 7-minute preacher. We're doing a program at the minute where it's called The Magnificent Seven. And those that have wanted and have felt the call to be teachers or preachers have put themselves forward in a training capacity. And part of this is the training. And so without further ado, I want to welcome Miss Anne Tynan.
Good morning, guys. This morning I've been asked to speak on choice. God has so much love and respect for us that he lets us live our lives whatever way we choose to live. We can choose to live our own way, or we can choose the way God created us to live. It's almost like God saying to us, we can walk in the light and live by the Holy Spirit, that's God's way, or we can walk in the darkness and live in our flesh, that's our way. In Deuteronomy 28, it tells us, if you will fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands, then the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations and all the blessings will come your way. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. So even though we have been given free will to follow God, we must follow God, we must follow his commands. It is free will, it is our choice. We can go out there and we can, you know, just get on and work and have family, have friends and do all that. But God won't bless us in the spirit if we don't follow his commands. If you want, Matthew 19:17 says, if you want to enter into life, obey his commands. 1 John 3:24 says, though who obeys his commands lives in him and he in them. And this is how we know God lives in us. We know by the spirit that he gives us. 5 years ago, I made a choice to give my life to the Lord and to walk in the light and to walk in his spirit. I didn't just make that choice then and that was it and do nothing about it. Every single morning that I wake up, I give my life to the Lord. And I say, Jesus, let me walk in your spirit today. Fill me with your spirit. Give me the gifts of your spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, self-control. And you know, sometimes it's not always easy. It's difficult. And I do fail. You know, but in my failings, I've realized that I have to get on my knees, ask for forgiveness, don't beat myself up, get back up again and keep going. Before I knew God and the love God had for me, I was spiritually dead. I had no self-worth. I had no confidence. I was lonely. I was depressed. I felt rejected. I lived in fear. And mostly, I believed that I was stupid, that I didn't have or couldn't aspire to be anybody. Because I chose to follow God and his commands, he has transformed me into his loving princess warrior daughter. Today, I am fearfully and wonderfully made in his image. Today, I no longer feel depressed. Today, I no longer live in fear. Today, I refuse to feel rejected. Today, I believe I am not stupid. During this week, you know, I came up against a battle. And it was like I knew the enemy was trying to take me out. You know when you know, and I knew the enemy was trying to destroy me. The fear came in. You know, I came up against people that's in my life. I don't do my life with them, but they're in my life. And, you know, I came up against a situation where I had to go to God's word and I had to do what Matthew says. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. No, I'm not joking, guys. That was difficult. It was difficult, but I know I had to do that. If you forgive men, they will who sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. It was difficult, but I did it. I got up this morning full of... I didn't go to sleep. I got up this morning full of fear. I was like, you're not good enough to get up there. You haven't got the ability to get up there. And I was like, no, I'm shaking that off. I'm shaking that off because I stand here this morning. I stand here this morning because God's given me wisdom. He's given me knowledge and he's a lot more knowledge to give me. But I want it. I want what God has for me. I want the plan that he has for my life. And I know he's going to do amazing things through me. Now, Jesus suffered on that cross. And anyone who has kids, you know, when your kids are being hurt or the stuff going on in them, you're devastated. You know, and Jesus was on that cross. And look what he went through for us. He felt all those things that I used to feel. He had to do that. God sent him his only son. And Jesus went through all that stuff. So, if we can feel the stuff and see our kiddies being hurt and the pain that I see when my daughter's hurting, what does God feel when I'm suffering? You know, what does he feel? You know, he's amazing. You know, I was there during the week. It's going, I can't feel it, God. Where are you? What are you doing? Like, this is crazy. This battle, I don't want this battle. And he knows me character. He knows, you know, I love to get a card. And I was saying, I haven't even got a card off anybody in I don't know how long. And Noel hands me this card this morning. And then an amazing woman in my life, a midwife in my life, came along and handed me this card. So, you know, he's there. He's with us. He's always with us. And when we don't feel him, he's with us. You know, my other lovely friend, Jimmy Jones, he's on the other side of the world. And it took Jimmy Jones to send me a text this morning at 7 o'clock for God to say, I'm with you, I'm never far away, and I'm walking this walk. So for anybody who's struggling in the choice this morning of to stay in the flesh and not follow his commands, I just, you know, I pray over this house this morning. Lord, I pray over every single person that's sitting on these seats. Lord, let our flesh fall away this morning, Lord God. Let it be of you. Lord, you've used me this morning as a vessel of your Holy Spirit to come and to speak over the people here this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you've given me the ability to do that. I thank you, Lord, that I stand here knowing I couldn't do it without you. Amen. And I choose, Lord God, this is my choice this morning, guys. It's all about choice. And I'm choosing today to love the Lord my God, my rock, as that song says, to love the Lord my God, my shield. And I choose today to love the Lord my God, my strength. It's your choice this morning, God. Guys, we have free will. We have it. If you want it, that's okay. You'll still get on in life. But God has so much more. He's so much more. And we owe it to our children. I owe it to my daughter to stay walking in the Spirit. I owe it to my family to go out there and to reach this city, this nation. Amen.
Amen. Great job, man. Great job. So all of you that are next on the list, you know, talk to her after. It's not really that bad, is it? So let me take this moment. I'm going to introduce our preacher this morning. He is one of our own. We planted him, we grew him. And he had a head of hair and all the last time, you know, when he began with us. But Eddie, we just want to say that we love you in this house. We want to be behind you and give you everything and push you forward into the plans and the purposes that God has for your life. And you know, this is just the beginning. It's just the beginning. So let's stand. Let's welcome Eddie.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks, Sharon. Good morning, everybody. God is good, amen. All the time. And all the time? God is good. And that was brilliant. That was brilliant. Well done. It's not easy to come up and share your heart like that. Amen. So I admire you for that. I really feel this morning before I begin, just doing the series that we're doing, Freedom in Christ, and that I really feel just sensing it, even playing the drums there this morning and upstairs, and we were doing the rally call and all that kind of stuff. There's something God really wants to break through here this morning. I really get that sense that I just see tears, you know what I mean? I see people crying. I see people crying with frustration. I see people crying with a sense of helplessness and a sense of, you know, getting nearly there to the breakthrough, but not just getting there. And every time they get that knockback, then it's tears again and it's tears again. And I really get that sense this morning. And I, you know, the Holy Spirit has a great way of tying things in. You know what I mean? He's in control here. And the message that I have this morning, I really believe that, you know, I'm not trying to preface what I'm trying to say by stirring people up. I really believe that. This wasn't on my heart to share this. You know what I mean? That in the sermon this morning about choices, that I believe there's breakthrough. I believe that, you know, there's people in this room that are going to walk out of this room changed. Not because of me or not because of my priest or anything like that, but because the Holy Spirit wants to do something. And he wants to change something. You know, and when he changes something, it's changed. It's not a flimsy thing that's gone by the time you get down to the end of the stairs there. It's real and it's reality. Amen? And so part of the series I'm doing, you know, and the Freedom of Christ is our daily choice. And we all have a choice. See, in this room, the dynamic in this room, I believe, is that we are very much an outreach church. And there's a lot of new Christians in the church. There's a lot of Christians that are kind of maybe 2 or 3 years into their walk, or maybe 6 months into their walk, or maybe 5 years into their walk. And then, you know, in sprinkled with that, then there's a lot of maturity in the room. There's a lot of people that are in the Lord a long time and that are ministering out of their experiences and the anointing that God has put on them. And so to try and understand that we are very much discipling. Very, very much discipling in this church. A lot of people in this room, they have a lot to learn. We have a lot to learn about God. We have a lot to learn about who we are in God. And we have a lot to learn about how we live our life in God. And so, you know, I don't want people, you know, struggle. God doesn't want people struggling. God doesn't want people struggling in the fact that, you know, and I mean this, you hear this from the bottom of my heart. I really mean this, that, you know, when we go to church on Sunday, we're filled with emotion. And we're filled with, you know, and I'm not talking about all of us, but I'm talking about, you know, as we're discipling, that we're filled with a sense of emotion. Now, the problem with emotion is that it dissipates Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It's gone. Because all it is emotion. And I believe that what God wants to do this morning is he wants to get us into a mindset where we are Christians and we are walking with God on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, on a minute basis, that we don't leave God when we move away emotionally. That God is with us. And that's why, you know, we do be talking to people, and Peter and Noel and Pastor, they'll be ministering to people. And and a lot of the stuff is about, you know, I get to a place in God and then I seem to fall back again. I fall back in sin, or I fall back in my old habits, and I can't understand why I can't, you know, keep this presence within me. I can't understand why God, why when it comes to Monday or Tuesday, I feel that God is a million miles away. That my walk with God only tends to occur on a Sunday or very much when I meet up with other Christians, then I feel holy. And you know, that expression is very much an expression of a Christian that needs to grow and mature in God. Amen? Amen. That needs to understand that that's not what God has for you. That is not what God has for you. And God has so much more. And choices, the series that we're doing and the chapter that I'm doing is about, it's about choices. What choice do we make tomorrow morning? What choice do we make now when we're faced with certain situations like Anne was talking about, where chaos comes back in again? Where outside influences, which we have absolutely zero control over, start knocking on our door? What choices do we make when we're presented with certain scenarios? What choices do we make when things aren't going too well? When we're in a valley? When when it has to be a time where you have to get on your knees here? And all the emotion you see is a million miles away. It's gone. There's no emotion in that. There's no emotion on your knees. You know, and so can you hear that this morning? That's where I'm going with this morning, okay? Now let's look at first of all, our Christian experience. Let's look at what happened when we became Christians. When we give our life to God, when we say, God, I surrender my life unto you. I give my life to you. What happens then is there's a process that happens. We're given a new heart and a new spirit within us. We have new life in Christ. Okay? And we have a new master according to Colossians 1:3. So we have moved away from us being the master to him being the master. We've moved away from a sense of I am controlling my life to no, he is controlling my life. We've moved away from the fact that I am not the Lord anymore, he is the Lord. But we're also moving into a fact that he has saved us and set us free. We're also moving into a fact that all my sin is being dealt with. All my sin, you know, I'm forgiven. And I'm set free. I read an amazing book by Philip Yancey, In the Image of Christ, it's called. And it's co-written by a doctor. I can't think of his name at the moment. But he wrote a couple of chapters in it from a doctor's perspective. And let me share something about how he explains what it is to be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Now you see, in our body, right, we have an amazing immune system. You know, if you read about it and study about it, it's absolutely amazing, the immune system. And when, just say for instance, when a cold comes into my bloodstream, when I catch a cold off someone, my immune system goes and looks at that cold and it remembers when it dealt with that cold years ago when I was a child. And it knows how to tackle the cold. The immune system is like it's like if it has an intelligence. It knows exactly what to do. Exactly where to go and how to deal with that cold. And the cold then only it lasts about 4 or 5 days. Now, the tablets and the medicines that you take don't kill the cold. They only help you with the symptoms. Your immune system kills the cold. Your immune system kills the cold, not the tablets and all that the doctors give you. And so, a couple of hundred years ago, there was diseases that came into mankind. Everywhere we had large cities, where we had large groupings of people, diseases came in, the likes of diphtheria and smallpox and the Black Death and the plague and all that kind of stuff. Diseases came in because when man gathered together, they passed on diseases from disease. Now, the problem with these diseases was, a couple of hundred years ago, was that when we say the smallpox came into me, my body would look at the smallpox and it would examine it, my immune system, but it didn't recognize it. And it did not know what to do. And so the symptoms of the smallpox would start to kill me. But my immune system was rapidly working, trying to kill it. But by the time it got to the end and killing it off, I'm dead. It's too late. It can't catch up. It couldn't catch up. And so, you know, the smallpox, if you're given one disease, killed thousands and thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people, in fact. And it was only in the Civil War in America that when the armies gathered together to fight, smallpox broke out. It broke out in the camps. And smallpox killed more soldiers than the war itself. And so the generals in the Yankee army were given a commission. They were saying, we need to get rid of the smallpox. You need to do something about the smallpox. And so all the great physicians and all the great minds of the time were out to get rid of the smallpox. Now stay with me. There's a point to this. Stay with me. So what they done really quickly, what they done was, some fella came up with a smart idea and he got a guy that was near death. this fellow was going to die. And he took pus off his arm. It's an amazing thing. He took pus off his arm and went to a young, healthy man and gave him smallpox. Now, the smallpox he gave him has nearly been killed off by that other man. Nearly been killed off. And he gave him such a small dose of it that the man, over a period of a couple of weeks, was able to beat that smallpox. He was able to deal with it. His immune system was able to cope with it, and eventually it got the better of it. And so that man survived smallpox, and he was immune from smallpox for the rest of his life. Can you hear where I'm going with this? He was immune from smallpox for the rest of his life, and they were able to, from his blood, develop a vaccine. Listen to this. Develop a vaccine where they started to vaccinate other soldiers. When they just came in, when they were just recruited, and they gave them the vaccine, and no longer was smallpox in the army. And in fact, they eradicated smallpox from the world. And there's no longer we have smallpox in the world because of the vaccine. And even nowadays, children go and they get vaccinated, don't they? Against all sorts of diseases. Why? Because they're telling the immune system how to deal with measles and all that kind of. They're telling the immune system. So when measles comes into my daughter, she already knows how to deal with measles. Why? Because she's been vaccinated. Now listen to where I'm going with this. Jesus Christ came into the world. He lived as a man. Every temptation that you can think of was given, born on him. And he was perfect. And then he went to the cross. And sin was put on him. Sin was put on him. And he died. And he went down. And you know what? Death could not hold him. Because he beat death. He beat death. Death couldn't hold him. It had no hold on him. He survived. Amen. Amen. And God rose him from the dead as first fruits of many. And when I apply the blood of Jesus Christ into my life, sin is dealt with in my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm inoculated from sin. Sin has been dealt with in my life. No longer does sin have any hold on me, because I have the blood of him who has overcome in me. I have the blood of him that has overcome in me. Can we hear that this morning? Hallelujah. Now, that's the fact. That's the reality. There's no other reality. If you have confessed in your heart, believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, if you believe that the blood of Christ can save you and set you free from sin, then you're a Christian. Then in that revelation and in that knowledge, you're born again of the Spirit of God, understanding that Jesus Christ has set you free. No other. There's none but him that can set you free. And that is the Christian. There's no other place where we can go other than through that narrow path. Through that, and there's no other philosophy. There's no other vaccine. There's nothing. The problem with us as the Adamic race, as the sons of Adam, is that there's sin in us. And sin is what destroys our spirit. Smallpox will destroy my body. Sin destroys my spirit. Sin destroys my spirit. And that's why Jesus Christ came, to deal with the spirit. So what is born of the spirit is born of the spirit. And what is born of the flesh is born of the flesh. He has come to deal with the spirit. And he has dealt with the spirit. Now the problem is that, you know, we have to hang on to that. That's our choice, that we have to believe that. That I am saved and set free and my sin is forgiven. Now, when we hold on to that, okay, the problem that we have then in choices is that I am still trapped in this body, you see. And there will be a day when I die and when I will leave this body. And Christ will give me a new body. But I'm still trapped in this body. Paul calls it the body of death. I'm still trapped in its impulses. I'm still trapped in its desires. I'm still trapped in a place where it's a nature. There's a nature that's warring against my spirit nature. And it's called sin. And it's called the sin of the flesh. And the flesh rises up in me every time. The flesh comes and calling in my life. And how do I deal with these things? Do I go into the flesh or do I go into the spirit? And the flesh is something that we have to make choices to deal with it. Understanding that we are saved and set free, but understanding also that I have a choice to make into walking in God or walking in the flesh. And this is where people struggle. This is where people come to me and Noel and everybody, you know, leaders in this church and say, I'm really struggling as a Christian because they keep making choices in the flesh. They keep on dealing with things in the flesh. They keep on looking for the flesh answer. Or not even understanding that their spirit, they're born again. And they no longer have to move in the spirit or move in the flesh. They don't have to. And it's like someone coming saying, okay, there's the vaccine for smallpox. 2 weeks later, the smallpox is gone. You're set free from smallpox forever. Listen to this. This is what it's like walking in the flesh as a Christian. You come back to the doctor a month later and say, I have smallpox again. Look, there's the source. It's back. And the doctor's saying to you, you can't come back. It's gone. So no. It's back. Look at the sores on me. You keep on saying, because you're moving in the flesh, you keep on saying, I'm not a Christian anymore. Or I'm not holy anymore. Or I can't walk in God anymore. Or I can't do this stuff anymore. And you keep on coming back with the symptoms that has already been dealt with. And we have to get that cross into our spirit that I am saved and saved. I don't have to make that decision. I am no longer a slave to sin, but I am a slave now to righteousness. It's righteousness that I move on to, not sin. I don't have to. I don't have to sin. It doesn't control me. I have a choice. Well, can I wake everybody up to that this morning? We have a choice. There was a time in my life when I had no choice. I was a sinful, as a naturally sinful man. I sinned as my nature. It was just a thing I'd done. I just sinned because it was in me. And it wasn't until the Holy Spirit came upon me and Jesus Christ set me free that I woke up one morning and said, Eddie, you have a choice now. You have a choice. You don't have to anymore. So what? You don't have to. Now, I know by experience that there's people, possibly in this room, that are at that place where they're confused. They don't realize that they have a choice. And Christ has given us all that we need for the Spirit. Every gift He has given us to live in the Spirit realm. We no longer have to go around with the sores all over us that we've already been set free from. Can we hear that this morning? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Okay. Right. There's three different type of people in the world. Okay. There's the natural person. Right. 1 Corinthians 2:14. There's the natural person, and the natural person is described as this. Okay. Physically alive but spiritually dead. Separated from God. Okay. Lives in the flesh. Actions and choices dictated to by the flesh. Okay? Has no spiritual, this is very good, has no spiritual basis for coping with stresses. Listen to that. That's the flesh. That's the person that doesn't know God. Has no spiritual basis for dealing with life's stresses. And everything that comes against you in your life, you deal with it yourself on your own terms. And you have no helper and no one other than you and your own. There's a lot of people fall by the wayside when they live like that. There's a lot of people that fall into addiction and fall into all sorts of behavioral patterns and all kinds of when don't understand that all they have is themselves and they've nothing to hang on to. That's the person that's spiritually dead. Now there's a spiritual person, 1 Corinthians 2:15. I'm going too fast for you, Malachi. You're up there. The normal state of the spiritual person is the person that is saved and set free, that knows who Jesus Christ is, that knows the power of the blood, that realizes that all my sin has been dealt with, past, present, and future, that the blood has covered me, that His sacrifice is enough, and that I'm believing it day in and day out. Even though there's times when my expression is not gone with that, but at the end of the day, I know I'm saved, and I'm getting back to Him. That's the spiritual person, the saved, set free person. And the normal state for him or for her is that he has been transformed through faith in Christ. His spirit is now united with God's spirit, has received forgiveness, acceptance into God's family, realization of worth in Christ, receives impetus from God's spirit instead of the flesh, is renewing the mind, getting rid of old patterns and thinkings and replacing them with truth, emotions marked by peace and joy instead of turmoil, chooses to walk in the spirit and therefore demonstrates the fruit of the spirit, still has the flesh, but listen to that, still has the flesh, but crucifies it daily and recognizes the truth that they are now dead to sin. That's the spiritual man. Very, very simple. Very, very, you know, it's not overcomplicated. It's an understanding that he's my Lord now and everything is turned into him and everything goes through him. And I'm a spirit. The most natural thing that a man can do is give his life to God. Because we're made for God. There's nothing unnatural about being a Christian. It might be awkward coming in here thinking, what the story in here? Who are all these people? That might be a natural reaction, but the most natural thing to do is to be alive spiritually. Because it's God has planned it that way and made us that way. And the more that you grow in your spiritual life, the more natural you feel about it. It's no longer this war against sin. A Monday morning now, this war against sin. Let's go to battle against. It's not like that. Sin is being dealt with. Don't live like that as a Christian. The war is over. Sin has been dealt with. I have a choice now to move in the spirit realm. I'm going to see where God is, what God wants. And the more you go into that, instead of battling with that every 5 minutes, the more you just go into him, the more that you let that go. And it'll be something that's there but not there, as Anne said. In our life but not her life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, here's the problem. Here's the problem. There's hope after this. How am I for time, Pastor? Here's the problem. There's another person. This is where it gets a bit sticky. There's another person, and it's called the fleshly person. It's 1 Corinthians 3:3. Malik, if you can put that up, please. The fleshly person is a Christian who has been made spiritually alive, but instead choosing to follow the impulses of the spirit, follows the impulses of the flesh. Their daily life tends to mimic the natural non-Christian person rather than the spiritual person. Mind occupied by wrong thoughts, overwhelmingly negative emotions, body showing signs of stress, living in opposition to their identity, feelings of inferiority, insecurity, inadequacy, guilt, worry, and doubt. Tendencies to get stuck in certain sins. Romans 7:15. What's at stake? And this is really key here. What's at stake is not our salvation, but it's their fruit for God. Can we get that this morning? You're saved. Set free. Your life needs to come in balance with that. For your sake. For your sake. That's all. For your sake, your life needs to come in balance with that. Not for any other reason. For the understanding that you are a Christian and that's your identity. And to live opposite to that identity. In other words, gone for the world and gone for the flesh and gone for other things. Instead of Jesus saying, listen, I'm here for you too. Like, you know. You need to turn to me. Now hold on for a minute. You're the last one I go to. And then you come into church and you ask people to pray for you. You're struggling all the time. Why do you think you're struggling? Think about it. Think it through. It's not rocket science. It is not rocket science. Some people really overcomplicate this. Now, the hope that we have as Christians is that we, you know, what God wants to do is he, you know, it says in 2 Peter 1:3, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. And Ephesians 1:3 says, we have every spiritual blessing. What God wants us to do, okay, is that he wants us to move in the spirit realm. He wants us to depend on the Holy Spirit. He wants us now, when I used to hear that as a young Christian, right, I used to care away from this stuff because, oh, here we go now, this is priest time here now, into a priest, God all the time, 24/7. where, you know, get the sandals on, get the robe out. Is it being in the Spirit in prayer 24 hours a day? Every waking moment? Is that what it means by being in the Spirit? Does it mean that I go around with a Bible connected to my hip? And every time someone asks me a question, hold on a minute. Yeah, give us two of them. You know, is that what living in the Spirit is? Is living in the Spirit this holy person that every conversation about the Mars bars down the shop is all spiritual? Yes, them Mars bars are. They're spiritual. They were positive. Work, rest, and play. Amen. No. That is not walking in the Spirit of God. Walking in the Spirit of God is allowing Him to be the King. It's allowing Him to be our reference point. It's looking to Him. It's saying, Lord, I love You, Lord. Every day, I just love You, Lord. I want what You want, Lord. I'm not afraid of You, Lord. You don't scare me. You don't scare me, Lord. Coming to God is not all about a big battle. It's not. It's about just being in love with Him. It's about saying, listen, God, I'm not making a mistake there, but thank You for Your grace. Cleanse me of all my sin and forgive me, Lord, and let me go again. That's about living in the Spirit. Now, there can be barriers for getting to the Spirit of God. I understand that. And they devoted a page in this book here about a lot of us. What we're talking about this morning, this is where really, I'm going to finish with this. This is where it really gets into play. That a massive blockage if you're walking in the Spirit, it can be a sense of in your own life that there's a blockage. And I really believe there's a breakthrough here this morning. There can be hurt. There can be pain. There can be so much negativity in your life. There can be abuse. There can be addiction. There can be a sense of hopelessness in this economy. There can be a sense of, I've made a mistake again. The same mistake again. There can be a sense of I can't keep doing this. There can be a sense of, all I see with the spiritual life is this, me trying to be holier than what I can be. And I can't make it. I'm great around all these holy people. But we see when I'm isolated on my own, I just can't make it. I can't get there. And there could be a blockage in the heart to get you to be able to be released into a sense of freedom in Christ. And that's where we're going with this morning.